Annabelle Development Director for the City of North Bend. And this evening is Mike McCarty, the Planning Manager from the City of North Bend. So this is basically just a public get-together, public meeting to talk about a proposed development in East North Bend near Exit 34 by Millfork Development LLC. And you'll hear from them in just a few minutes here. I have some prepared remarks I'm going to read from those, and then we'll get going with a presentation about what they're proposing to do for the development. And then around 6 o'clock or so, we'll open up to just general questions and answers. And of course, feel free to walk and look at some of the boards up here and ask questions to the architects from Millfork, as well as the Millfork representatives as well. So maybe we'll start with a few introductions. So, Katrina, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll stand up. So you can meet Katarina with Jackson Hayden Architecture.
I'm Rob Howie with Millfork Property Development.
James Howard, CMLC.
Great. Thank you all for being here tonight. So I'll just read these remarks real quick for you. So the applicant, Millfork Development LLC, entered into a development agreement on September 17, 2024 with the City of North Bend. The development agreement is meant to incentivize development of the property. It requires a master plan to be submitted within 6 months and a building permit within 2 years. So this, as we're gathered here today, this is part of the master plan submittal process. The applicant is interested to develop all 35 acres of the proposed property. The property is zoned employment park and has an overlay which requires a master plan process. The master plan process is meant to create a unified site plan for a large project such as this. The current proposal by the applicant, who will go further into and ask questions after my introduction, includes 10 acres of commercial area along Southeast 140th and 468th Avenue, and a mix of flex industrial and logistics light industrial behind it. The applicant is required to hold a public meeting to identify potential community impacts and concerns about the project. The applicant will then submit for a master plan by submitting several materials listed in our code, which include a detailed transportation system within and adjacent to the site, a traffic study, a parking study, a description of the mix of uses, including square footages and locations on the site, and preliminary infrastructure plan, which will include frontage improvements like sidewalks, turning movements, design standards for buildings, and landscaping plan. Staff and consultants will review this submittal and provide a report to the hearing examiner, who is an independent decision maker hired by the city to ensure an unbiased decision is made based on applicable law. A public hearing will be held prior to the decision, and anyone requesting a notice within 300 feet of the project will receive this notification as well, as a 15-day comment period for a State Environmental Policy Act, otherwise known as SEPA, decision. If the current project proposes deviations from city code allowances, which we are not currently expecting, we will bring those deviations to City Council, and they will have the opportunity to review and approve any changes prior to going to the hearing examiner. Following a decision of approval or approval with conditions on the master plan, the applicant would then pursue all other city approvals, including engineering, building, etc. So again, thank you so much for being here, and now we'll turn it over to Katrina.
Thank you, James, and thanks everyone for coming. Just a little, I think I'm talking loud enough, but if you can't hear me, just let me know, and we'll find it. I'm going to play around with the screen here a little bit.
Yeah, just for everyone's sake, if you can speak loud, and then for questions, if you can speak loud as well. We're in the middle of starting some redo of our AV equipment, and so right now we're just recording on a little kind of handheld recorder, so everybody can speak loud so we can capture you when you ask questions.
Yep, for sure. Thank you, Mike. And like I said, if I'm not loud enough, just let me know. It sounds okay to me. And as James pointed out, this is a 35-acre site located here at 468th Avenue, Southeast 140th, and off of exit 34. Oops, you can see the cursor off of I-90. It's this parcel. This is the 35 acres that we're talking about this evening. Over here, you can see the zoning for the area, the employment park, which is consistent all across this area, except for the truck stop and neighboring is in a different zone. So we stay consistent with that. This is a master plan, so it's basically a combination of the zoning code, discussions with the city, discussions with the development team, and understanding what are the highest and best uses for this employment part of the area, considering its location, considering its proximity to I-90, how close it is to Middle Fork, which is a beautiful area to find a way to the Middle Fork recreation area. So taking that all into consideration and understanding some of the economic benefits for having multiple businesses of various kinds on this site in this location that would bring that to North Bend. So we have two plans to show you this evening. This one is the potential development. So at this point, this is all a potential. Some of this could change depending on who the businesses are and how this moves forward through design and permitting down the road. But as a master plan to set the stage for any whatever development follows, that's what this represents. So as I said, this is the full 35 acres. We've got a 10-acre strip that's right here along the roadways. And that is intended to be primarily commercial. There's a buffer area up here designated as a buffer area to the residential across the street. So commercial uses in this area will complement its location. And commercial uses in this area are also intended to complement access for neighbors and back here at I-90, we're talking about small shops, perhaps. Yeah, this is what we understand from the community is desired. We've also have we've identified this parcel's potentially for a use such as Honda Kubota, which is farm equipment. And we're potentially looking at this little corner down here as, a little coffee shop, some quick service restaurant. You can see here there's a roundabout up here that does not yet exist. And this is in planning. This is not, this is something we received from the city. It's going through a planning process currently as a separate process. So it's intended that all of this will mesh into a development going forward. Looking at access, then one of the main access points would be from the roundabout into this potential commercial area. There's another access point down here off of 468th Avenue, and another one down here with high activity planned for this area. The remaining 25 acres here is divided into two areas at this point in the plan. This is a flex industrial area supporting businesses that would need a little bit of office and some warehouse space, maybe some small manufacturing, maybe some sales. It's intended to be subdivided into small 2,000 type square foot, or maybe some of those are combined into larger. It's intended to flex, depending on who's interested, and to be able to support many variety of businesses. Down here in this area, we have a larger industrial warehouse logistics distribution, and it's intended to be down here with an access off of Southeast North Bend Way, close access to exit 34. And you can see that intentionally we are splitting the traffic transportation. So warehousing, logistics, towards the west, and then folks wanting to come here, for a shop or a nice shopping experience. They're not intermingling with heavy trucks and for warehousing. So that's how this plan was structured. Any questions at this point? Moving on.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are there any improvements? Can you scroll back up?
I'm
To 468 in Southeast North Bend Way for traffic, if you're going to increase the amount of heavy truck traffic coming in and out of 350,000 square feet of warehouse.
Yeah, so part of the roundabout design is.
It's not that, it's closer to truck town. So if you drive down 140th to 468 now to get to the freeway on exit 34, you're already dealing with some a lot of truck traffic right here.
Right here.
And it's sometimes pretty perilous because you've got some trucks who are going pretty fast there and they're pulling into the truck count area. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's your question, but my concern there with regards to the trucks is you're directing all that traffic on the 468, but they have to get past truck count to get there, and now you've got heavier traffic, like cars and things, getting to and from the freeway. Mm-hmm. And
what's not depicted is the Southeast North Bend Way, 468th Avenue Southeast intersection, which is currently a stop sign, which is a mess if you've got competing trucks coming from truck town, as well as what's coming from I-90.
Especially when
what's being introduced from your industrial. Mm-hmm.
Especially when exit 34 closes to the pass. Because all those trucks park right there.
Or they come through downtown.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to provide a little bit of a response. Mm-hmm. So as a part of development review, any development has to go through what's called a concurrency review under state law. And with that concurrency review, we have to determine that there's adequate services and levels of service maintained when a development project happens. So traffic concurrency is one of those tests. And the development proposal is required to provide a traffic study that shows what the level of service impacts are to streets within the vicinity and intersections based on the traffic added by the development. And the city legally cannot approve the development unless the development can be shown to pass the level of the concurrency test, showing that it's not dropping levels of service at those intersections below adopted thresholds. And if it does drop below those thresholds, the developer, if they want to move forward with the project, has to provide mitigation to keep those levels of service at adopted minimums.
Including potentially improvements that aren't within the area specifically that you're talking about.
Correct. As long as it's within the traffic corridors of the traffic impacts from the development to like I-90.
Because what would end up happening, which is another traffic concern that I have, is that to get around that, people trying to get to the commercial center area are going to go around on Southeast 140th Street to access this so they don't have to go through the traffic. And Southeast 140th Street is all residential, but 90% residential right now. And it's already a lot of traffic on there and a lot of folks trying to get to and from Twin Falls Middle School on time, and so if they can't safely get through truck town, then people are going to find a way around it.
Yeah, so we would have a professional review, the traffic analysis prepared by the applicant, and they would look at things like when is the AM peak hour associated with the middle school, when is the PM peak hour based on rush hour traffic, all of those factors, and where is the traffic going from that development.
I guess you have to consider the fact that people try to get somewhere with as least resistance as possible,
absolutely.
Right? And they're gonna, that 140th Street is a really well-known way of not dealing with North Bend Way. Mm-hmm. So that's my concern.
Thank you.
Okay.
In addition to that, is there anything switch traffic, one of the other things that I've noticed is backing up on the ramp to 90 is trucks. So trucks park everywhere. They're starting to go to 31. With the increased traffic of what's happening here in the industrial, what are we doing to make that safe? Because I don't know about you guys, but it's terrifying getting on and off that exit when there's trucks lined up on both sides. So is that part of the traffic study?
No, that's not something that's not an impact of the development, so we can't legally include that as a part of the analysis. That's really a separate issue.
I would agree that that's not part of the issue, but.
So that raises another question I had, is that in light of that, are there any plans to look at the current space where Truck Town is to try to get it to flow more with what you're developing here, as well as resolving
That may be a part of the traffic analysis
for those trucks to not park on the off-ramp and the on-ramp.
So again, we can't control what happens with the on-ramps. Those are individual truck drivers, not associated with the proposal. That would be more of a Department of Transportation issue. However, traffic routing, circulation patterns, and so forth are certainly something that we would want to look at through the development agreement, or not development agreement, the master plan proposal, as well as the traffic studies that support the review of that.
That study is underway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not indicated. So again, does that traffic study include potential improvements to Truck Town as part of this to get those trucks adequate parking?
No. There wouldn't be a nexus there because that's an existing private development. However, routing on the public streets and circulation patterns could be considered overall as a part of the master plan process.
What kind of businesses are those? Like an incubator set up there?
Commercial? Right in here would be incubator, like incubator flex industrial. So, like I said, small warehouses, maybe they are, small parts manufacturer, maybe it's a tire outfit, they've got a warehouse full of tires, they're selling tires to the community, things like that.
But nothing's really been committed.
No, it depends on, this is intended to set the stage, like I said, and then the development group will go out and speak with interested folks.
So do you expect like over 500 cars to be parked over there or in that whole area?
So
that's the parking space that you have.
Right, and so the parking is as part of this will be for your North Bend zoning code requirements, and so that will be provided.
Can I build on this question?
Can
I build on your question?
Yeah.
Are there any usage restrictions for hazardous materials, controlled substances? What types of usages are not allowed in the industrial manufacturing and storage space?
So off the top of my head, I can't recall what's not allowed in your code, but if there are hazardous materials, they are required to be, the buildings are required to be designed to mitigate those entire proof. Conditions for that type of material. So that will go through your local fire department requirements and the buildings will be designed.
But there's nothing in our city plan of the zoning that would prevent hazardous materials or production with hazardous materials there.
They would have to prepare a hazardous materials management plan. Other than via like prohibitions from the building and fire codes about certain things, and prohibitions within a critical aquifer recharge area regarding groundwater contamination, there's not specific prohibitions. So it would just be developing the appropriate plan based on the type of hazardous material that would be used.
So shifting a little bit, this is the plan to describe the landscaping. So per the City of North Bend codes and the development agreement, they will be, as you can see, pretty consistent with the area, forested landscape buffers around this whole site. There will be a few areas, kind of peekaboo, I will say, to see into the development and landscape that's appropriate with a commercial development per the code. And you can see we've identified the areas. We have some stormwater ponds here, heavily landscaped. And then you'll see in subsequent slides some views on what we anticipate that will look like once you put a building in this landscape. This is alternate B, we're calling site plan. This is in the event that potentially someone will want to take this entire 25 acres for one use. So the commercial areas, the buffer area here at the top, and the commercial active area here, the 10 acres, this would be developed along these lines, and then potentially, you know, someone could take this entire 25 acres and develop it otherwise. And then here are some of the views of each area. As I said, since this is a preliminary master plan, we're not designing the buildings at this time, but we are discussing with the city the character and feel of each area. So here are some representative images of what the commercial area could look like. We've nestled those building heights and blocks within the landscape to give you an idea that, you know, their height in relation to someone walking through this area, you'll still be able to see the mountains beyond. There'll be some stunning views from this area, as you see today. And this is a concept plan by a group that's potentially looking at this site. So just wanted to include that here. And that's going through a different group than ourselves.
What's the blue?
Sorry, the blue would be the building. So instead of three separate buildings on this area, this plan is showing one building. I think it's kind of an outdoor climbing gym use, I think. I'm not sure, so don't hold me to that. So they've got a building nestled within some landscape areas and parking along here on the interior. And then moving kind of through the site, we anticipate sort of this area, the Honda Kubota, to look something like along these lines, consistent with the design standards of the city of North Bend. Another view of what this area could look like. And then this is an existing view of 468 Ave at this location. In the industrial flex areas, some views of what these buildings could look like. And then the large industrial areas, these buildings are about the size of the Alpental Logistics Center that's just down the road. So roughly, each of these is roughly about that same size. And again, having a building of this height in the landscape would look like this compared to the trees and the mountains around. So, and that, at this time, is what we have to show you this evening.
Do you have the cross sections of 468?
I did not send it to.
So,
as part of this development, it's considerable road improvement on 468 and around. It's going to be widened and turn it makes it a lot safer.
Take our trees away.
Trees are going to come out.
Can you bring the first map again? So what? Those are going to take how many years to grow? Those are old growth trees.
Where?
And the other thing is that our roads are getting widened and we're getting sidewalks in.
Right.
But those sidewalks make it easier for people who have no business to access those neighborhoods that they are accessing those neighborhoods. And there's an increased crime rate in the neighborhoods in that area within the last few months. So
just to be clear, those are public sidewalks and the public is that everybody from the public is allowed to use the public sidewalk.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is that this is 468 is a highly residential area, and there is a lot of, the neighborhoods have been built with the barriers there to help with the nearby traffic sounds from the 90, and they're natural barriers. And if we start taking those down and we start putting in smaller trees that are going to take 20, 30 years to reach the mature heights that we already have, okay, I hear what you're saying, but.
So provide another response to that. The visual impact of the corridor there along 468 is an important consideration for the city. That's also the gateway to the Middle Fork Recreation Area, so that's an important kind of icon image for the city. And so we do want to provide a substantial landscape feature and buffer along that roadway, separating the roadway from the walkway. And the intent of the walkway would be more kind of a meandering pathway rather than your conventional kind of hardscape sidewalk. To be able to provide that, though, it's too difficult to retain the existing trees. The trees would likely suffer from grading impacts because where the edge of the roadway is right now, and they need to add some additional width for bicycle lanes and so forth. And so rather than have trees that would likely fall over time and become sick, it's better to have a substantial newly planted buffer that will grow up to become the more mature forest character over time.
Completely logical response. What you're getting is from people who live in the area, who ride their bikes down this. Down the road, we don't want increased traffic. We're here because of the trees. We're here because of the outdoors. Recognizing the fact that this is private property, recognizing the fact that it will get developed, we are trying to minimally impact the lifestyle that we love in this space and the trees and the environment that we love. And by widening roads, you increase the propensity for traffic and heavy traffic because now it's more accessible. By taking down the trees, we take care of natural beauty. So there's the flip side of this, which is not a business case, and it's not based on code. It's based on the passion for the area and the residents here that simply aren't looking for this to be a heavy industrial area. We moved our families out here because we didn't want to live in a heavy industrial area. Again, I acknowledge that it's private property. It's zoned for those people. Are going to do what they're going to do, but if the purpose of this is to get the feedback, then that's the feedback that I want you to hear. I trust you all that you're professionals and you'll do the right thing. But we're here because there's something that doesn't sit in our laws, right? Which is just the character of the town, which I'm not excited about. If you ask me to cut down the trees, I'd say no, thank you.
The other thing is that, I'm sorry, can you go back to your first map? Like, what's driving the volume of buildings and parking and everything else? So, I mean, this is pretty tight, looks to be pretty tightly condensed in there. And I understand the zoning, and I understand the drive and the need for continuing to grow and bring business to the area. But there's a lot there, right? There's a lot there. And so is there a reason that that has been so tightly planned?
Well, it comes back to the Constitution. So folks have a right to develop a property. The city can't stop something unless it has a regulation with a legitimate public purpose saying that there's controls on what you can do. And that's a part of what we're doing with this. We're listening to the comments of the community, trying to make sure that those concerns are incorporated within the context of law into the development proposal to the extent that we can. We can't just say, go away. They have a right to develop.
I'm not saying go away. I'm saying that part of our concerns, again, have to do with the amount of traffic, the fact that it's very near a highly residential area and preserving the resources in the area, maybe the developer needs to be open to, hey, if we don't want this big of a road through a residential area, maybe the plan needs to change a little bit, right? So all I'm asking is that, great, your transportation study is going to come back and it's going to say, well, we need a bigger road. Okay, well, that's great, because that's a pretty big change for the residents in that area.
Kind of
and to yes, my other point earlier is that, to me, whatever this is, that commercial traffic and anybody trying to get to this area should be directed to, as much as possible, get there on North Bend Way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kathy, maybe you can explain where commercial truck traffic would go, how they would both get into and out of the site.
It's not even so much the commercial truck traffic. I understand it's going to come off of North Bend Way, but you're going to have deliveries and everything else to all of those businesses in those buildings labeled 1, 2, 3, right? And their access point, they have multiple access points off of 468 and 140th, right there in that junction. And who knows what's going to go, the size of all of that, plus just the general traffic, people going to work, people going to a store, whatever it may be. That's a lot of building and a lot of parking spaces that we're introducing to that part of town.
Yeah, understood. And I can say that one of the benefits, and this is just my personal opinion, the roundabout is going to prevent large vehicles from going that way, and I think that's one of the
It doesn't prevent them today. they crawl through North Bend.
They roll over the roundabout now. The one that they just put in, down North Bend Way, the one off of Exit 32. Those trucks roll right over because they can't make the turn. This turn's even tighter, right? So I understand that, and I get it, but it's just...
140th is not a truck route, and as a part, perhaps, of this proposal, we could include additional signage that makes that a little more obvious.
I agree.
Doesn't mean that semi-trucks can't go that way, because like moving trucks, people move and so forth, but in terms of commercial truck traffic.
I understand private property, you're going to have this great place to have these sorts of light industrial, etc. It doesn't look like light industrial to me. It looks like a lot of businesses and a lot of things that are going to draw people, tourists, etc. to this area. That's different than having light industrial where people are just working there for the day and maybe not a lot of employees. If there's a mining gym back there, you're going to have tons of people coming. Mm-hmm. So that's my one concern. I think it would be different if it was less buildings, bigger buildings, etc. My second comment is, if it's going to be small businesses, are we going to have a segment downtown North Bend? And what is that going to do to the businesses that are currently in North Bend that are struggling? I feel like it's dividing the city in a way. So is there any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I could probably speak a little bit to that. So there was a community survey done in summer of 2023, and one of the biggest, largest amounts of feedback we had from the community was to bring more economic development, more retail opportunities to North Bend. There's only so much retail you can squeeze into the downtown core, especially with those old historic buildings. And so as we've seen the population grow, as you go east of downtown North Bend, especially with the new townhomes that are just down the way here, condos, single-family residential that's actually going to be up in this area as well. We've heard quite a bit of desire to bring more retail, both to service those homes, but also to serve the traveling public as they get on and off Interstate 90, either going up to Snoqualmie Pass or coming back down. And so our feeling is that this will help kind of meet that need. We see this as kind of qualitatively different than what the experience is in downtown North Bend, which is more sort of boutique types of stores, restaurants, sit-down restaurants, and those types of things. I think we sort of envision any sort of restaurants out here will be more of the fast casual kind. So if you think sort of Exit 31, like McDonald's, Taco Time, something akin to that would probably work here as well. And then other types of retail needs. But I think they would be different than downtown. And especially as we, you know, work with Middle Fork to bring companies here, we're very cognizant. We don't want to cannibalize downtown North Bend businesses. And so the types of businesses that we would focus on would kind of complement the downtown, but be quite different out here.
What about lighting?
Yeah, I can respond to that one. So the city has lighting standards that the proposal would need to comply with. And as a part of those standards, we require what's called full cutoff fixtures. That's where the bulb is recessed within the fixture, so it's not hanging down below and creating glare. We don't allow light that shines directly out or even at an angle. The light has to be just directly down within that full cutoff recess, so that minimizes glare.
Well, and I guess my concern is the overabundance of lighting that this is going to bring. We already have how many brand new lights right down here off with the new townhomes and the condos. It seems like there's a lot of overkill on those lights, right? We've got pathway lighting, I don't know however many feet, plus they added however many street lights right there. So again, going back to those of us that moved out here to see the beauty of it, to see the night sky, right? I mean, there's a fine line there that says how much are we bringing in that ambient lighting as part of this these types of developments. So I know you have to have light. I know it's a safety issue, but that's a lot of light now. A lot of light.
Yeah. Now, these are all very good comments, and these are the kinds of things that we want to hear so that we can incorporate provisions into the ultimate master plan to best sit within the community and address the community's concerns.
Yeah.
Just a quick time check here. So we have until 6:30 to take comments, so we've got about 12-ish minutes left. So if you have any additional comments, please feel free.
I think one of my concerns about retail space is just businesses that have a propensity to bring higher crime rates to the area, cannabis dispensaries, whatnot. I would love to see the city, or hear their thoughts, or see the city take action to protect the community, especially given the proximity to residential. I'm concerned about loose industrial parks and what kind of manufacturing they might bring with them, having worked my career in manufacturing. But once it's there, it's hard to get rid of. And so just understanding what types of materials are allowed, what types of hazards are not allowed. I recognize that they simply need to meet the regulations. But the impact of hazards and accidents this close to the neighborhood, whether it be explosives or oxidizers or gases and things, are certainly a concern for the neighborhood.
And the
as well as any waste byproducts of that, because systems occasionally fail, as well designed as they are. And those are the ones you read about in the news. And certainly, the easiest way to prevent that is to not have it. Again, not to squash economic development, but the proximity to residential they're neighbors. And so I'd love to see the city put some restrictions on allowable uses.
Yeah, there's currently land use restrictions and distance restrictions for cannabis retailers. I don't have those off the top of my head right now, but I think given that there's a school nearby, that would cause some restrictions in terms of that type of use out there.
That's not even allowed use within this whole area of town. The only area where cannabis is allowed by code is at that, basically at the Alamo.
Yeah, exit 31 area.
Something happens and things leak out. What happens? Because we're also close to the river and our aquifer. Is there like, I'm assuming that there's a plan or things that they have to meet to be able to plan and mitigate those?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so depending on whatever types of chemicals and materials may be used or stored on the site, they develop a hazardous management plan for that, and that addresses containment and other protocols in the case of a spill.
Number three is not a retention pond, is it? Is it a chemical spillover pond, or is that a natural?
It's a natural.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to ask the one question: what is the source of water for the development?
Go ahead,
source of water is from Slough.
Is from Slough?
Yes.
Okay.
And Slough has reviewed the plan, and they've got the capacity?
Yeah, well, they don't right now, but they will when the interties done.
This is part of King County intertie.
No, it says City North Bend intertie.
Oh, the city, but that.
Yeah. So there's an intertie being constructed this year that will basically link up the two water systems. So in case there's a shortage, either they can sell to us, we can sell to them, however it needs to work.
Yeah. What about sewage? And that, I mean, where does that go? Does that go to the North Bend City, North Bend?
Or? Yeah, that would be connected to our sewer system.
So is all of that, are those two groups, Salal and North Bend, doing a study on the feasibility of all this as well, or has that already been done?
So it's back to that same concurrency review process. We have to determine there is sufficient water capacity and water pressure to serve the development. And we can't approve the development if that's not the case.
Right. So I know you said traffic. So will you guys be including that as part of the overall plan for review, I guess, that's set from water and the sewer?
So like water and sewer are probably not a part of the master plan. Traffic is, because that really relates to the layout and the circulation patterns for the site as a whole. The water and sewer would be a part of development applications that may follow from the master plan.
So,
there's one thing extra is when any of these buildings get built, and this is a concept.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what's going to get built. You got to move the whole thing forward. But anytime one of these buildings is going to be built, it has to be designed and permitted through the city. So it has to go through all the regulations and all the codes and all those reviews on the individual projects.
I understand, but my point being is that you've got this idea here, and so if suddenly you've built four buildings and we no longer have capacity because of businesses that have gone in there or something's happened or we have extremely dry seasons, then now you have four buildings sitting there and the rest of your plant can't be built because we no longer have capacity for it.
That's correct. So as development occurs, each piece of that development has that concurrency test.
But wouldn't it make more sense to have those feasibility studies done based on here's the ideal of what we would like to have? And is this anywhere near the remote possibility of what our capacity could be to support this? Because suddenly now, how have you really brought a lot of economic development, which is what the goal of this is, right? If we only can do X percentage, or maybe they would have been built differently or on a different part of the plot.
With the inner tide, the city of North Bend has sufficient water capacity for the 20-year growth period. So if we're providing water to the Sellout Water Association, there's not a capacity problem.
Great. Any other questions? You have 5 more minutes.
My concern would be the traffic for Twin Falls Middle School. That's what I'm concerned. We used to have Snoqualmie Middle School. We had Snoqualmie Middle School, and then we built out here at Twin Falls. That was to help alleviate the population and traffic. Now you want to build another commercial center.
Yeah, so that Twin Falls Middle School traffic is a part of what's considered the AM peak traffic review. So they need to consider the traffic going to and from the school as a part of intersection analysis. And again, if what they're adding with this project drops those levels of service below adopted thresholds, they need to provide mitigation to keep them at those thresholds, including that Twin Falls traffic.
I just see a big problem when it comes to all this planning with this commercial building and the Twin Falls Middle School. I just see traffic problems there.
It's already lots of traffic problems there.
And I don't have kids going to school.
Neither do we, but still, I mean, to get through that area is perilous. So I don't know what threshold is acceptable, but even as it exists right now, the threshold is, I don't think, meeting the need. Or maybe that's what you'll find when you do the traffic study.
It's a thoughtful plan. Thank you for taking our heat. We have a fundamental difference of opinion between the right to build something, which I acknowledge, and the goals of economic development for North Bend that I don't think every citizen is aligned with. Many of us moved out here to get away from economic development for a reason, and so when we talk about adding it, we get kind of passionate about it, obviously, because we live here, but because that's a big complex. That's 300,000 square foot warehousing, which is a lot of warehousing, and a lot of bay doors, and a lot of capacity. And that's where my concern comes from. That would fundamentally change this area. It's already kind of a headache and I sort of truck down there. So the impact on what is already beautiful. I'm sure whoever develops it, great job, it'll be a nice modern, but it's right, and it will impact the neighborhood. And my ask is, consider how you can do this with less of an impact to the community surrounding it, because that I don't see that as a community center. That's a destination. Whereas everyone else, the community surrounds that.
Thank you for the comments.
Thanks for
listening. They're very thoughtful and appreciate hearing them.
Well, we're going to conclude this portion of the meeting. The remainder of the meeting, we're going to be moving into the adjournment room. It's still a public meeting. You guys can join us in there. It's just that allows us to record for a public hearing that we have in that meeting.
So can I ask what next steps are here? I'll park from your going into the other room.
Yeah, sure.
Next steps. This is the initial step of the overall master plan process, was with just a meeting hosted by the developer to hear public input. So now the next step is to actually prepare the master plan. So that's going to be site plans like you see here, and then also more of a written plan that includes some specific kind of mitigation measures, conditions, and so forth that then guide the future development that occurs on the site.
And then, like I said in my earlier comments, once we receive the plan, we will go through a process within the city. There'll be a hearing examiner, so we'll make sure to notify all of you in the area surrounding this when the hearing will take place. So if you'd like to attend, you're more than welcome to do that. And that will probably occur, I would say, sometime maybe early summer, maybe June timeframe. And then, we'll have the hearing examiner hear the case, and then he or she will render their decision, you know, 2 or 3 months later.
And what would be like the estimated time of building starting?
Yeah, great question. So per the development agreement the city has with Middle Fork Development, they have to pull a building permit within 2 years. And so that clock started ticking last September of last year. So they have about 2 years from then, so it'd be about September of 2026. Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being here tonight. Really, really appreciate it. Again, as Mike said, you're welcome to join us in the smaller adjournment room here for the other half of the Planning Commission meeting. And other than that, thank you for coming, and please stay in touch. We look forward to hearing from you.
I know what's supposed to be happening. So.